7. I did not find Shatov at home. I ran round again 2 hours later. He was still out. At last, at 8 o'clock, I went to him again, meaning to leave a note if I did not find him. Again, I failed to find him. His lodging was shut up, and he lived alone without a servant of any sort. I did think of knocking at Captain Lebyadkin's down below to ask about Shatov, but it was all shut up below, too, and there was no sound or light as though the place were empty. I passed by Lebyadkin's door with curiosity, remembering the stories I had heard that day. Finally, I made up my mind to come very early next morning. To tell the truth, I did not put much confidence in the effect of a note. Shatov might take no notice of it. He was so obstinate and shy. Cursing my want of success, I was going out of the gate when all at once I stumbled on Mr. Kirillov. He was going into the house, and he recognized me first. As he began questioning me of himself, I told him how things were, and that I had a note. "Let us go in," said he. "I will do everything." I remembered that Liputin had told us he had taken the wooden lodge in the yard that morning. In the lodge, which was too large for him, a deaf old woman who waited upon him was living too. The owner of the house had moved into a new house in another street, where he kept a restaurant, and this old woman, a relation of his, I believe, was left behind to look after everything in the old house. The rooms in the lodge were fairly clean, though the wallpapers were dirty. In the one we went into, the furniture was of different sorts, picked up here and there, and all utterly worthless. There were 2 card tables, a chest of drawers made of elder, a big deal table that must have come from some peasant hut or kitchen, chairs and a sofa with trellis-work back and hard leather cushions. In one corner there was an old-fashioned icon, in front of which the old woman had lighted a lamp before we came in, and on the walls hung 2 dingy oil paintings, one a portrait of the Tsar Nicholas I, painted apparently between 1820 and 1830, the other the portrait of some bishop. Mr. Kirillov lighted a candle and took out of his trunk, which stood not yet unpacked in a corner, an envelope, sealing wax, and a glass seal. "Seal your note and address the envelope." I would have objected that this was unnecessary, but he insisted. When I had addressed the envelope, I took my cap. "I was thinking you'd have tea," he said. "I have bought tea. Will you?" I could not refuse. The old woman soon brought in the tea, that is, a very large teapot of boiling water, a little teapot full of strong tea, 2 large earthenware cups, coarsely decorated, a fancy loaf, and a whole deep saucer of lump sugar. "I love tea at night," said he. "I walk much, and drink it till daybreak. Abroad, tea at night is inconvenient." "You go to bed at daybreak?" "Always. For a long while. I eat little, always tea." Liputin, sly but impatient. I was surprised at his wanting to talk. I made up my mind to take advantage of the opportunity. "There were unpleasant misunderstandings this morning," I observed. He scowled. "That's foolishness. That's great nonsense. All this is nonsense because Lebyadkin is drunk. I did not tell Liputin, but only explain the nonsense because he got it all wrong. Liputin has a great deal of fantasy. He built up a mountain out of nonsense. I trusted Liputin yesterday." "And me today," I said, laughing. "But you see, you knew all about it already this morning. Liputin is weak, or impatient, or malicious, or he's envious." The last words struck me. "You've mentioned so many adjectives, however, that it would be strange if one didn't describe him." "Or all at once." "Yes. And that's what Liputin really is. He's a chaos. He was lying this morning when he said you were writing something, wasn't he?" "Why should he?" he said, scowling again and staring at the floor. I apologized and began assuring him that I was not inquisitive. He flushed. He told the truth. I am writing. Only that's no matter. We were silent for a minute. He suddenly smiled with the childlike smile I had noticed that morning. He invents that about heads himself out of a book, and told me first himself, and understands badly. But I only seek the causes why men dare not kill themselves, that's all. And it's all no matter. How do you mean they don't dare? Are there so few suicides? Very few. Do you really think so? He made no answer, got up, and began walking to and fro, lost in thought. What is it restrains people from suicide, do you think? I asked. He looked at me absent-mindedly, as though trying to remember what we were talking about. I don't know much yet. Two prejudices restrain them. Two things. Only two. One very little, the other very big. What is the little thing? Pain. Pain? Can that be of importance at such a moment? Of the greatest. There are two sorts. Those who kill themselves either from great sorrow or from spite, or being mad. But no matter what, they do it suddenly. They think little about the pain, but kill themselves suddenly. But some do it from reason. They think a great deal. Why? Are there people who do it from reason? Very many. If it were not for superstition, there would be more. Very many. All. What? All? He did not answer. But aren't there means of dying without pain? Imagine. He stopped before me. Imagine a stone as big as a great house. It hangs, and you are under it. If it falls on you, on your head, will it hurt you? A stone as big as a house. Of course it would be fearful. I speak not of the fear. Will it hurt? A stone as big as a mountain, weighing millions of tons. Of course it wouldn't hurt. But really stand there, and while it hangs, you will fear very much that it will hurt. The most learned man, the greatest doctor, all will be very much frightened. Everyone will know that it won't hurt, and everyone will be afraid that it will hurt. Well, and the second cause, the big one? The other world. You mean punishment? That's no matter. The other world. Only the other world. Are there no atheists, such as don't believe in the other world at all? Again, he did not answer. You judge from yourself, perhaps. Everyone cannot judge except from himself, he said, reddening. There will be full freedom when it will be just the same to live or not to live. That's the goal for all. The goal? But perhaps no one will care to live then. No one, he pronounced with decision. Man fears death because he loves life. That's how I understand it, I observed. And that's determined by nature. That's abject, and that's where the deception comes in. His eyes flashed. Life is pain, life is terror, and man is unhappy. Now all is pain and terror. Now man loves life because he loves pain and terror, and so they have done according. Life is given now for pain and terror, and that's the deception. Now man is not yet what he will be. There will be a new man, happy and proud, for whom it will be the same to live or not to live. He will be the new man. He who will conquer pain and terror will himself be a god, and this god will not be. Then this god does exist, according to you. He does not exist, but he is. In the stone there is no pain, but in the fear of the stone is the pain. God is the pain of the fear of death. He who will conquer pain and terror will become himself a god. Then there will be a new life, a new man. Everything will be new. Then they will divide history into two parts, from the gorilla to the annihilation of God, and from the annihilation of God to the gorilla? To the transformation of the earth and of man physically. Man will be God and will be transformed physically, and the world will be transformed, and things will be transformed, and thoughts and all feelings. What do you think? Will man be changed physically, then? If it will be just the same living or not living, all will kill themselves, and perhaps that's what the change will be. That's no matter. They will kill deception. Everyone who wants the supreme freedom must dare to kill himself. He who dares to kill himself has found out the secret of the deception. There is no freedom beyond. That is all, and there is nothing beyond. He who dares kill himself is God. Now everyone can do so that there shall be no God and shall be nothing, but no one has once done it yet. There have been millions of suicides, but always not for that. Always with terror, and not for that object, not to kill fear. He who kills himself only to kill fear will become a god at once. You won't have time, perhaps, I observed. That's no matter, he answered softly, with calm pride, almost disdain. I'm sorry that you seem to be laughing, he added half a minute later. It seems strange to me that you were so irritable this morning, and are now so calm, though you speak with warmth. This morning? It was funny this morning, he answered with a smile. I don't like scolding, and I never laugh, he added mournfully. Yes, you don't spend your nights very cheerfully over your tea. I got up and took my cap. You think not? He smiled with some surprise. Why, no, I don't know. He was suddenly confused. I know not how it is with the others, and I feel that I cannot do as others. Everybody thinks, and then at once thinks of something else. I can't think of something else. I think all my life of one thing. God has tormented me all my life, he ended up suddenly with astonishing expansiveness. And tell me, if I may ask, why is it that you speak Russian not quite correctly? Surely you haven't forgotten it after 5 years abroad. Don't I speak correctly? I don't know. No, it's not because of abroad. I have talked like that all my life. It's no matter to me. Another question, a more delicate one. I quite believe you that you're disinclined to meet people and talk very little. Why have you talked to me now? To you? This morning you sat so nicely and you... But it's all no matter. You are like my brother, very much, extremely, he added, flushing. He has been dead 7 years. He was older, very, very much. I suppose he had a great influence on your way of thinking. No, he said little, he said nothing. I'll give your note. He saw me to the gate with a lantern, to lock it after me. Of course he's mad, I decided. In the gateway, I met with another encounter.